Let's call to order this Improvements Committee of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District regular meeting of December 3rd. I see we've got one information item and 9 discussion items, no action items, correct?
Yes.
So let's get started. Floor is yours.
We received communication from Sacramento County Environmental Department. EMD is what they're known as. The notice is to see attachment one. There was a correspondence dated November 15th, 2024. The correspondence goes into quite a bit of detail over fines that have been levied against Rancho Murrieta, specifically due to risk management and a lot of violations that pertain to chlorine gas. And so this was to kind of make the board aware, because there are decisions to be made about which avenue or which course of action that we choose to follow. So the attachments 1, 2, and 3 are labeled in order because they're basically decisions or avenues that the district could choose to follow. So the current, I think, assessment levies, if the district chooses to fight the fees that have been levied are close to around, we'll just ballpark it at about $79,000. There is a section in there to enter into settlement, and the settlement they propose is around $15,800. So it would drop the fines down from about $80,000 to that $16,000 range. The last option, which I believe is attachment 3, would be to enter into like settlement or arbitration with them. And I think we've already reached out because there was a very tight timeline, and so we reached out to Sacramento County EMD and set up already a meeting with them to enter into the settlement agreement. I believe our meeting is around December 12th. I have the specifics. I'd have to look up for the specific date, but it falls in between the committee and the board meeting. So we're hoping to meet with them and enter into settlement and pay the lower fine, and there would be some conversations.
And if I could just add, this item first came to the district's attention in June, and Travis reported on it in June or July. And it was a five-year reporting obligation, so it would have been from 2019 to 2024. So the prior director of operations missed it. You know, it was not during his tenure. And then it came up for submission in June, and we, you know, responded with a consultant who came out and who addressed all the issues, and then, you know, made great progress in getting us caught up. We added it to our list of reporting obligations, and we're not sure at that time whether or not they were going to issue a notice of violation and a fine. And so then ultimately, after that had all transpired, they did issue this notice of violation with a fine. And we have the consultant who was engaged in June to assist with this, who's helping us with this, and will probably be with us at that meeting on the 11th, and then we'll see how that goes. So this was just sort of another situation where there were gaps in overall management on the operations side as a result of probably institutional turnover. I'm not really sure like why they didn't have a good, you know, action of what the reporting obligations were, and that's one of the things I've asked Eric to put together is, you know, a clear map of all of the reporting obligations for the water and wastewater operations.
And these violations are reporting violations,
They're more operational, so there are some hazard analysis that have to be done with chlorine gas. A lot of it depicts weather conditions and how far leaks could possibly spread, and the areas that it could impact are part of that. So it's called a pros- process hazard analysis, and a lot of it is tied to updates of RMPs, which are due every 5 years. Some of them were listed as over almost 2.5 years in violation, meaning they hadn't been done in that time. It is now complete. They have been resubmitted. I signed off on them, I believe it was Friday. Condor Earth was able to submit them directly to the county. So there are new stuff in there. But ongoing, there are recommendations that have to be continually updated, which are on a large spreadsheet. So this is part of the requirements that you fall under when you have a deadly chemical. And chlorine falls kind of under that, so they really pay high attention to this. Wastewater is having that removed. Water will have it for a little while longer, so we are staying on top of it and keeping it up to date. But some of it is regulatory and just the requirements for them informationally, and then others are internal stuff such as, you know, incident reports that don't match up. There was an injury that wasn't reported. There was a leak that happened that also, during that injury, that was identifiable as an incident that you're supposed to notify your CUPA, which is the county, that's taken place. So some of it is larger than just reporting.
And looks like item G is an update on the conversion, so we'll get to that. So the plan is to have this meeting with the county and accept their lower offer of settling this. That's
correct.
Does the committee or the board need to do anything in this, or is that in your purview?
I think it's within my spending authority, and unless they require a board resolution, I think we should be able to wrap it up at the staff level. We'll find out at the meeting.
All right. Okay. Next item.
So the Sacramento County Water Analysis, I have contacted them. They replied yesterday. We've set up a meeting to meet with them. They had some preliminary questions. The meeting that we're going to have with them is a virtual meeting, so we'll be here, and their staff will be there on site. The ongoing comments were just the same questions that were originally posed. It was a question over what type of water would we prefer to receive. Do we have maps and documents that are available for them? And just some small conversations over what type of a connection we were looking for. And so we've just entered into just basically preliminary conversations with Sacramento County Water Agency. And they would have to take it to their board of directors as well for approval to even start the analysis. So it's basically just very preliminary discussions.
Got it. So when you say the type of, are you talking the size or treated versus untreated or both? This is preliminary, so we're just feeling each other out kind of thing?
So exactly. And it even goes further than that, because when they usually are referring to type, they're also referring to either groundwater or surface water, since they have both capabilities. And I gave them some preliminary discussion that, you know, neither groundwater or surface water, we would prefer either. There isn't really a preferred one over the other. They wanted to know raw water over treated. I let them know that treated would be the most likely cause. Untreated water does have a lower rate. The problem becomes getting it to us, and then also would be also the cost of our treatment. We would need to build something out close to there to do that. It would get a lot more costly if we ran raw water all the way up through here. And so that's the conversations that have really been had. Points of connection, basically what we'd be looking at is kind of the closest point of connection as possible to also save on cost. Volumetric was discussed just because their planning will need to be a part of that. And so I ranged it somewhere between 3 and 5 million gallons a day so that it could meet full demand if necessary. But all of this is just very early on conversations. A lot of it can change, but it'll give them kind of an idea when they model it what we're looking at.
Sure. So they have groundwater and surface water available to the, I mean, closest point, right? They have both there?
Yes. So their big use is conjunctive. Well, all the systems are interconnected. So basically, it's a loop distribution system. So every place that they build, they try to loop that back in so that all the water can travel in either direction. Surface water and groundwater do get mixed. They built their system so that their groundwater is all brought in and treated and put into storage reservoirs. They also allow, since that water comes in from the distribution system, surface water can be mixed in there. So it's kind of up to them by set points that they run, which that they run over the other. They've termed conjunctive use, which is supposed to be in dry years, they use more groundwater, and wet years, they use more surface water. But they've always built their system to be, or tried to at least be, not fully reliant on one or the other. So in zones, you do get some mixing of surface water and groundwater, and in certain zones, you may get much more of a groundwater or surface water type makeup of the water based off pressure.
And there's two lines to out to their extremities, one raw and one treated, or do we know that yet?
The raw water that they get from the vineyard or two vineyard runs all the way out on Florin Road out to I-5 at the intake, and the intake is a JPA with East Bay Mud in them. So that raw water is brought through like a 72-inch main that runs directly under the road in the center island. And then their wells do have raw water lines that feed into their treatment plants. Most of them are not used to ever have finished water in them. But sometimes there in the Anatolia area, it was designed to use some of those lines to have treated water flow through them and into that system. I don't know if they've made changes to that. When I worked there, that was 10 years ago.
Sure, and we're still in the very early stages of finding out what's what and asking those kinds of questions, I would think. Millie, you have your hand up.
Would you like to take the comments
sure.
as they're coming?
As we're talking about each subject, we can...
For this subject, I have Richard Gears. I have one more.
I'd just like to clarify, what is the result of this study? Is this just a feasibility study? Yes or no, it can be done? Or some people talk about cost estimates, but I don't think those are coming.
I think it's much more feasibility. Cost estimates would come following because we need to know first whether it's feasible or not, then the point of connection, so we can drive a cost estimate based off distance and then appurtenances. Usually you're talking about a large master meter valves, and most likely I would even assume that in this scenario we would have to have some type of boosting system near there to push the water up, because Rancho Murrieta sits quite a bit higher than that zone. Okay. So it's more feasibility.
Okay, and it sounded like more feasibility, groundwater versus treated water, those kind of things?
Yes, it's very preliminary conversations over types of water.
Okay, thank you.
John Merchant.
Yeah, hi. My last comment, maybe. I looked at their urban water master plan, and there's some really great information in there. One of the things I picked up from it, and this multiple use, right now they're short of treatment capacity, it appears, at least from 2020. It also gives you a good idea of all of the... I don't know what they call them, villages, or, you know, Newbridge, Jackson Township, the new one across Highway 16. There's a ton of people in line for this water. In conjunction with that, would it be possible, even if it's on a limited basis, based on the $35,000 we're giving them, to get some kind of a scope, you know, like for the $35,000, are we going to get a yes or no, we're interested, or are we going to get an analysis of urban versus raw, or or after we get that, are they going to come back and ask us for another $35,000 for Part B of this? I just want to kind of understand, start to finish, what it is we're looking at.
Yeah, I think right now what we're looking at is whether they have the capability to even produce and transfer that. And so what they're probably looking at is water modeling analysis. Those areas do have a lot of water tied to them. They have the capacity to build out their water treatment plant up to 100 MGD. Currently, the surface water plant alone is 60 MGD, is what it's rated for. So some of those items I don't think that we'll be receiving, because I think we'll be eliminating them as part of the process, meaning surface water versus, I should say, raw water versus finished water. I don't think we'll receive analysis on that because of the preliminary discussions over what we go into with them. So basically it's what we ask for, meaning if we look at every option and do that, then we could probably get a finding on it. But knowing some of their setups and the way that they're made, and then also the cost that we would bear to do it, it could point us in certain directions. And I think those items should come to the board for discussion. So that
right. And I was just, just putting aside the end result, I just wanted to know maybe in 3 or 4 points what it is we're going to get for our $35,000.
Yeah, so I think what it gets us is partially discussion with their board of directors, because they have to get approval on their side as well. So it gets them into the conversation over that, whether or not it's feasible, whether or not they can get it allotted to us. I think it starts that conversation, which hopefully will lock in some of that water. 3 million gallons a day in a system of that size is not large to them. Some of those are just like two wells.
Yeah, no, I get that part. So, I'm just wondering, have we paid $35,000 for their board for whatever reason to
come
back and say no?
Can I just clarify? I'm sorry, it's not $35,000. We've been quoted $30,000, and that's
right,
what 30. The amount is.
Okay,
yeah.
30.
Yeah, currently we haven't paid anything. We're just entering into so nothing's transferred in between the two of us. And so I think right now we're getting a lot of conversation at no cost. And I think that's kind of helpful, because also it kind of locks in the idea that there are other people that may benefit from this water. And it may even go the route. I know there's a school not far from here, and they could benefit from the use of that treated water as well. So it may be helpful that we end up with a couple partners that end up along through that connection, possibly. But I think it's important we at least take a look.
I have no problem with that. I just, before we pay any money, I just wanted to, even if it's 8.5 by 11, I just wanted to see one sheet of paper on what we were going to get for our money.
Yeah, so far I think it's just a feasibility study.
Okay, thanks.
So this Zoom meeting you're going to have with them is when now?
Let me take a look at my, take a look at my calendar, yes. December
11th, I think is what it is.
Sometime in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the kind of question that you'll be asking them, no doubt, what are we getting for our money?
Correct.
What
and so far,
you're going to take our money and do what with it now?
And before the money even transfers hands, they have to actually get it set up and approved through their board. So this is really just more operational discussion over feasibility and types and stuff before they even request money. Or if it's even possible, we haven't paid anything, and they have to get it approved by their board before they even enter into that agreement where we pay them.
Yeah,
and it's actually on the 13th. Sorry.
Okay, good. Good. At least we're getting the ball rolling in that direction, and we'll get some kind of feeling as to whether or not we should pursue it or this is a pipe dream, so to speak. Where are we here? Implementation of computerized maintenance management system.
So this one, prior to my time, the district has been working on getting a updated CMMS system that also is like a GIS-based tool. Currently, when we receive service requests is what we term them, but if there's a water line break, a sewer backup or a customer resident call, usually it's transferred through phone and through person, but we don't have a great way of tracking that in a computer-based system, which also makes it very difficult to make data-informed decisions, such as, you know, if you're having a large amount of water breaks in a section or an area that pertains to a main, you could also base your main replacement off of that data. And so prior to my time, I've seen the tool that they've been looking at and utilizing, and I think this is a conversation into what that entails, and it benefits the district also to prove that work is being done, whether it be corrective maintenance or preventative maintenance, but it gives a great tracking of all of that data that goes into fleet maintenance, meter repair, meter replacement. It also gives us a great asset to be able to look up locations and work that's been completed and varying tools like that. And I think Mimi probably has a little more information on cost and also probably the prospective vendor.
Yeah, so sometime before my arrival, there was a GIS project, a comprehensive GIS project that was undertaken with a company called CalCAD, which is local. And they have a very graphic-based database that shows where everything is, all the underground pipes, water, sewer, drainage. And they are proposing that they could attach onto that system that they've built a companion service request system for a nominal one-time fee. And it is much cheaper than, if you're familiar with like IBM's Maximo or other service tracking technologies that are out there, that help to establish workflows and assign jobs to different individuals. And the district is just sort of old school in this regard. I don't think there's any real paper or definitely no electronic tracking for where all the workload goes. And so it's very hard to determine what your overall workload is without having that kind of analytical stuff. And then being able to pinpoint where problem areas are, especially with the need to, you know, replace end-of-life connections, it's very helpful to be able to see that data to be able to justify, well, this main over that main. So, and I believe the cost is like $5,000 or $6,000 one time, and so we think that's a pretty, and it's not every year, it's just a one-time add-on to it. And I think this is, CalCAD is sort of a smallish homespun organization, and so it's very affordable, and we've been very impressed with the integrity of the developer, the primary owner of this company, who seems to be very knowledgeable about his craft and eager to help us to get our hands around this whole idea of tracking our service requests. So we're just
tracking our service requests. I'm a little dense. I heard where the workload is going. Can you give me an example of what this thing would do that would be helpful?
Well, for example, over the last week, we had multiple leaks spring up, and people's side of the meter, some on our side, and you know, we would get either a website-based, hey, there's an issue, or they'd call and leave a message, or somebody had somebody else's cell phone and they called. So we have all these disparate streams of information that are coming in about different leaks, but there's no place that has a centralized repository for all of these situations that then you could gather together. So the system would have an interface which would allow us to put in the specific place, the Latin long, the address, whatever, all of it would be kind of connected to there. what the nature of the issue was, and what has to be done, what had to be done, and then be able to have that information be completely centralized so that Eric and his team could work in that area, see everything that was going on, without having it have to be, you know, multiple phone trees of telling people what's out there. And then from a overall executive management perspective, we could roll up reports that would say, this is how many leaks we had this month or whatever. So it would be a tool to both direct staff to make the fixes and then also capture that data to be able to determine the prevalence of, you know, breaks or leaks in a particular area so that you could focus your energy and resources to that, and then just be able to see, like, just the overall health of the system in general.
So that's where the that's the guts of this thing is service calls.
So it actually, that's one portion. Actually, a lot of the guts are going to be preventative maintenance. So items that are typically supposed to be done, say you have, you know, a goal to jet a certain amount of main a year. It'll give out that normal, hey, on Monday you do this normal work order, but it gives you a way to track that work order, and also in GIS based so you can see it, but it gives you a lot of key performance indicators. So for like pumps that require lubing, you can set in there as part of the preventative maintenance, every 6 months you need to lube that. It also gives all of that documentation that it's being done. It sounds really great. But I have been at one entity that, when pulled into a grand jury report, they didn't have a system to capture work that was being completed. And anymore, if you're not capturing that through some type of a work order or written documentation, then the work isn't being done. So that gives a lot of flexibility to us as management to ensure that work is being completed, and that we can also then try to take a look at preventative maintenance versus corrective maintenance type actions. Usually you want to see less corrective maintenance and more preventative maintenance. That's usually a good sign of a healthy infrastructure. So that actually benefits with this.
And I would tie this back to 2A with that notice of violation for not doing specific things we were obligated to do because of having hazardous materials in our operations. This could, depending upon how we set it up, capture those obligations so that it was clear that we had taken steps to be in compliant given the inclusion of that hazardous material in our activities.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, so discussion item, it's within your, and we're going to go ahead and do
just
that.
Just kind of elevating it to your attention.
Very good. Draft integrated water master plan technical review.
Following the board meeting, I don't have much of an update on that. I think most of the entities have been on vacation and break, and they're trying to wrap up some of their stuff with other constituents. I think the only update we had at the board meeting was that West Yost didn't have the ability or the manpower to go ahead and move forward with the project, so they had backed out. I'll reach out to the other consultants that were still waiting to receive their cost estimates and see if they have any word on that and where they're at.
So we've got six and one dropped out, so we've got five, and we know that they're all still interested in pricing this?
Correct. Zangero sounded the most interested. They just they had concerns and wanted to make us aware of cost estimates and the scope of work that we fully wanted.
Can we give them an RFP required by a certain date thing here, or are they going to start dropping off because they don't have the
So quite a few of them had concerns over trying to enter into this before the end of the holiday season because a lot of their clients were wrapping up currently. So I think if we wanted to do that, I think it would behoove us to kind of wait till January.
Wait till the end of January.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. Water sewer connections in Murrieta Village.
So I've reached out to Joe Domenichelli, and they are working on this, and they plan to have us something just before the board meeting. So they are in the process of the preliminary design as well as doing some of the cost estimate for the services to be completed. They were going to go out on site and survey the area. And then also Mimi and I are set up to meet with the community here. I believe it's December 9th, the evening of December 9th, to put on a presentation to make the community aware of the project and what it entails, and also hopefully the cost that they may incur when we do some of the connections.
Okay. So, and Domenichelli is to do this preliminary surveying and whatnot. Do I remember if we've given them the go-ahead? Is it a separate contract or is it under their main contract?
We have a master services agreement with them, and so it's under that. Okay. We do have a separate task order for the complete system analysis, the water distribution system.
Okay. Do you need the board to approve $100,000 CIP to get the initial survey done a few months ago? Seems like it.
Yes.
The water survey?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Granley's Dam safety improvements.
So they have completed the work, and in the attachments there is the full cost, what it's come out to, and there's always been questions over that, so that's why this item has still remained on there. The Granley Dam safety improvements, I believe, came out to $497,000. It should be in, which was slightly over. There was one change order at the very, very end, and it was due to some strip materials. And so the one change order pushed it above the original $495 that was in the agreement.
So we have signed off on the work and...
Yeah, the only item that may be remaining was there was conversation over hydro seeding, but I believe that that may have been pulled back.
There had to have been some kind of stormwater pollution control section of the contract where they did their BMPs and...
Yes, correct. They handle
the hydro seeding, final hydro seeding.
I believe that came later, not as part of Granley's, but as part of the repair to the raw water line, is the hydro seed.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. Pipe to Calero Reservoir repair.
That is as well complete. I have the number here. There was it's been left on there as part of the emergency repair work. It came out to $254,573 for the complete work, and that was done through TNT.
$250,000 to repair how many feet of pipe? 50 feet or something?
Oh,
10?
I'd have to look for the exact number.
But
I'm not sure what it is.
And
we have to make a voyage.
It's another indication that the numbers that we deal with are we just don't, we're just not, we've never been where we need to be as far as our reserves. And that's a subject for another day.
I would think the cost of projects has close to gone up by at least a third, if not almost doubled. So the estimates seem to be a little bit low at times.
I have just a question. As part of that analysis, that pipe that we fixed at the base of Clementia runs 2 miles, I believe, up the hill to Calero. Do we have any way of, or do we have any feeling now of what the condition of the rest of the pipe is or might be?
To my knowledge, there hasn't been a condition assessment on that. You can, with some of the newer technology, put in a device that will do radar and actually scan the sides of the pipe and give you an estimated lifespan. I'm not sure if that pipe has even cathodic protection, but in the soils in this area, it should be there.
Well, my point to what Randy was talking about is the same thing in reserves. Without a calculator, probably can't even assess the cost per foot of that thing, and I know it goes 2 miles up the hill. I mean, it sounds to me like something we need to know is can we anticipate it's going to break? And it broke the last time in a really, really convenient place. That thing goes some really ugly places. That's all I have. It's just a comment, but I mean, somebody ought to keep that in mind, I think.
As I recall, Travis's opinion was that the rest of the pipe is in pretty good shape, and this was kind of an out of the normal situation that twisted the pipe.
And I think there was another issue of a failure to compact the soil underneath the pipe that led to it being unsupported, that led to the break. I think that's my recollection of what how it was explained to me. Which speaks to less the failure of the pipe itself and more to the conditions around the pipe, I guess, if that gives us any reassurance.
Yeah. Treatment plant conversion.
So currently both of those projects, we have a kickoff meeting date for December 9th. So we'll be meeting with TNT, and they have already received their signed contracts, are all completed. The notice to proceed has gone out and it's been signed. And then we have a kickoff meeting coming for December 9th.
What's the, what are we anticipating for completion? Is this a 6-month project?
The timeline for them was very tight. They were supposed to be complete with the project by May before, and I think it may even be mid-April, before basically the tertiary treatment started distributing water back up to the pond, if you will, or to the golf course. And some of that could be completed by just doing the chlorine conversion portion and the other to follow along. The vendor and I are in communication on purchasing to try to stay inside that timeline. So the district may pre-purchase some items to lower the cost, but would still be associated with the project cost.
Gotcha. Okay, very good.
That's
G-9-H. And I think the water plant project for the filter rehab is a lot smaller, so that project would go a lot quicker. It's not a large project for them, so I'm guessing that may be easily done within the winter period before the plant ramps back up. So it might even be a 2-month project for that.
Okay. All right. That's the filter bed rehab. Lift station 6B rehab.
So lift station 6B, they are undergoing testing today. We left it in bypass over the holiday weekend so that we wouldn't run into any issues, but they are testing. They started testing yesterday the pumps and the new connection, and that basically should be wrapped up by Wednesday. So by tomorrow it should be complete, the work side of it.
good to have that one behind us.
Yeah, there was a few small issues. They had some light issues out there, but they were able to take care of it. Travis did a really good job working with the contractors to ensure that the sloping of the pads that were poured were correct. There was a few items that the contractors were held to the fire and had to correct. So that's why there was a little small delay in there. No, it was kind of somewhat combined there at the end of G, but we did cover it. That project should last only about 2 months. They are being somewhat combined because the same contractor is running both at the same time.
Yeah, two months, and shouldn't be a problem to get it done concurrent with the other project. Basin 5 maintenance request. Here we go.
So it's been a topic of conversation for a while, so we do have the quotes, and they are, Amelia's bringing them up now. One quote is for the vegetation, which would basically do some light cleaning and clean up the surface of that detention basin. The other item, or the other quotes, are to add in basically the fountains, and so since there hadn't been complete board direction, this is basically to just have that conversation on which direction, or both, or what do we really want to do with this area.
Mimi, thoughts?
Did you say Mimi?
I did.
Well,
how deep do we want to get involved in this and throw good money after bad?
Yeah, my sense is we start with the vegetation removal and see if that does the trick. Because I think otherwise we step into more ongoing obligation than I think is actually our responsibility, given that it is, from everything I've read and been told, a wet basin. It's intended to be wet, and it is intended to have a camouflage with all of the exterior perimeter vegetation. And it was designed that way in order to allow the water and the bad stuff in the water to settle and to not go directly into the river. So I think our primary, and I'm not even really crazy about the vegetation removal, but I think we start there and then see how it goes.
So, Eric, I know you're a water treatment guy and not a drainage guy, but when something like this is designed to be a wet drainage basin and continue to stay wet, is there ever any thought that eventually, because the design is to filter out, Mimi called it the bad stuff, and so eventually you're going to get a layer of bad stuff at the bottom of this basin, is there an idea that this thing is going to have some maintenance and be dredged out to get rid of that stuff, or is it obviously not? I'm being a little facetious here because when the operators built this place, they weren't going to put maintenance of this drainage thing in a computerized maintenance management system, but at this point, is there a problem with all that sludge being there, do you think?
So my guess is mainly what they're allowing to settle out would be like fertilizers and organics. My guess is that may be what leads to some of the growth at a faster rate. And I think that possibly you're on to something that could be done. I would try to avoid dredging just because of cost. There is a chance that maybe that basin could be drained and then scraped and cleaned out, but I think the way that we would best find out is probably to measure the depth from what it originally was and what it is now, using like a sludge depth finder to determine, you know, how much, if it's gotten any deeper. I'm not quite sure what it would, how much has accumulated really in that basin. I don't think anybody's ever really kind of looked into that side of it, but I am assuming at some point that it may need that.
Just a thought, and the more I think about it, the more I'm sorry I brought it up. So staff's recommendation is that we spend the $6,000, clean it up, and see where we go from there.
I think the, yes, 10, that's all I was gonna, I think the quote for cleaning is like 10,100. The quote for the fountain was the 5,000.
Oh, I don't have that. Okay.
I also thought we had a quote at an earlier point of like $5,000 or $6,000. So
I could look and try to find that. I know there was originally there was a quote, and I'm not sure what it was, but there was one that was presented before.
Oh. Yeah, I see it. Okay, got it. Okay, and this is an information item, and.
Yeah, more so.
I don't see a problem with what your plan is.
Yeah, we're mainly, so the reason it's being brought forward is this is more of an aesthetic, not regulatory or operational type item, so it's kind of at the direction of the board. So that's why we're bringing it to the committee, is to receive direction from the board, because if they want to choose to do something other, then that would be kind of their direction, whereas on my level I would stick to more of a regulatory item on it.
Yeah. So I think the recommendation of this committee is that you're on the right track and that we start with the cleanup by Solitude and see where that takes us. So this then goes to the board in case the board wants to do something further, or what do you want to do there?
Yeah, I think, you know, because there's been a lot of neighborhood concern about this, I think we wanted to have the conversation because it's definitely, as Eric said, not a regulatory item, just an aesthetic item and a olfactory item, I guess. What I want to do also is review very closely the maintenance plan, which we identified just a little bit ago. And integrate that into the conversation at the board meeting, because I think that that's probably going to give us some insights into, you know, what the original intent was. I think it also raises very important issues about how to take into consideration potential future maintenance costs for any future developments that have these kinds of installations. So it's a good opportunity to, you know, heighten our awareness as we talk to developers about their plans for water diversions, I should say.
Yeah. Ideally, a drainage basin like this would be off by itself and not surrounded by homes, because that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Is this going to go to the board then, December 18th? Is that your intentions?
Do we want this to go to the board in case they want to do something more than what you've...
Well, I think it just gives the board the opportunity to be informed about the plan. So I think it can be included as a discussion item, particularly because it has been an issue that has been bubbling up, you know, so to speak, over the last several months.
Okay. Makes perfect sense.
I have a comment.
John Merchant has a comment, sir.
Just historically, it's this last couple of months, this has been going on for 25 years.
Yes.
We've been here on this for 25 years, three or four times revisiting it. It's not going to go away. The other question I would have is, does it work? If it's holding water for a specific purpose of filtering out contaminants before it goes to the river, do we know if it works? Is it in, like, the original R&B plans? Did someone must have required it if they built it?
It was part of the, I believe, Department of Fish and Game and Wildlife. It's either Fish and Wildlife or Fish and Game. It's part of their requirement. And so to test the water prior to it entering the river, because that's what it's basically set to do, I would, my advice would be to not do it unless it's required as part of permit requirements. Because sometimes if you go searching for something, you may find an answer you don't want. And so the assumption has to be that its design is working unless proved otherwise. So that's kind of the direction. I think, you know, we could move forward, obviously, with the committee's recommendation of the first one to at least clean the surface, and then we can bring them both to the board and they can decide if they want to do the further of the fountain as an option. At least that way the aesthetics are somewhat improved, and I think this will be something that's probably going to become somewhat of a portion of ongoing maintenance, depending on how fast that material grows on the surface of the water in the future.
Yeah, and I would only add that I think the fountains are kind of like lipstick on a pig in terms of sort of moving the water around and making it appear as if it's intended to be a water feature, when really that's not its original purpose. And it probably has minimal impact on the vegetation growth, which is probably, as Eric said, exacerbated by the very things that are being collected there so that they don't go into the river and contaminate that water supply for everybody further downstream. So it's you know, it's doing what it's supposed to do, but again, if it wasn't placed where it is, you know, then it probably wouldn't be an issue. So,
and it might be a conversation to be had with RMA, the country club, as well as CSD and the residents in that area, if we join together as kind of a task force, if you will, to see if there's some options to visibility that may help with it, where, you know, if you put in fencing with visibility slats and you can't see into that area, does that improve the quality of having to see it if it's an eyesore to the community? And so maybe there's some options to go down that path as well.
Yeah, to John's point, that we've been talking about this for 25 years, and everything that's been said here has been said in the last 25 years. And I was on the RMA board when we were talking about this and getting together and doing something that would, and we've never come up with a solution that's made the homeowners over there happy. And I don't know that the fountains would, but all right, we beat that to death. Any comments from the public on anything not on the agenda?
I have no comments, sir.
All right, in that case, staff comments, suggestions. Amelia, are you still awake?
I am awake, thank you very much.
Oh, good. And I have no further comments, so we are adjourned.
Thank you very much.